had a question for Thiru. Thiru, if you remember, we'd spoken earlier about growing sustainably and having sustainable economics and how you sort of came around to that realization, and that's kind of a North Star for you now. So can you talk a little bit about, what that journey was like, where, you discovered the right model in terms of economics, and if there are any sort of common structural learnings that you think can be applied across agri to create a more sustainable and viable economic model?
Hey, there is no what is it one answer to this, because it's like you're saying, how do you, how, what is this mantra to build a sustainably sustainable unit economics company, right? So I don't know whether I'd be the right person to say, because I have not done it yet. So we're still finding the path to it. But there are certain learnings which I carry, which I could apply. The biggest learning I carry is, again, as I said earlier, right, when you're a very small company, right, where you have a group of highly engaged people who are well connected with the founders, etc., right, the organization is very different from, let's say, when you're a 2,000, 3,000 member organization, where the last level guy is no more connected to you, he doesn't even know you, right? It's very different. So what happened primarily with Ninja Kart was this. So when we were only based out of Bangalore and we started scaling, so our unit economics was better or close to break-even. We were doing a fabulous job, right? Is what we felt. Then we said, like, hey, this model is ready to expand. We can go to geography and sort of kill this market, right? But the moment we expanded into geographies, so it opened up a Pandora box, actually. So what happened is, what if you have a whole bunch of people who are not really connecting with the organization, who come and look at it like a job, and they're not worried about what others are doing, etc., right? What happened is, it led to a lot of chaos for us. So a lot of processes broke. People, a lot of, let's say, the ownership level was a huge problem. I don't know whether it's only related to agri sector, but as a company, if it applies for maybe other companies also. So then, because unit economics is not only for agri sector, it's for every company, right? Every sector. So then, the unit economics which we made in Bangalore is very, very different from unit economics across the country for us, and in fact, getting worse and worse as every day passed by. So then, we had to go deep to understand, like, what fundamentally changed. And this change also came so fast, maybe because we expanded also so fast. So for us to maybe put our heads together to really go deep to figure out, like, what went wrong, and then come up with reasons. And then every reason was attributed to people rather than the core activity down there. No one followed the processes. How do you standardize the processes? Because, let's say, if you build a very people-dependent company and your processes are not standardized, right, people make their own decisions and do it their own way. So how do you go on to standardize every single small part of the supply chain and say, okay, this is a process that has to be followed, and maybe if you have to change it, maybe we have to discuss. Because when you're small, every changes that goes into the company, and you are able to see whether it is an impactful change or non-impactful change, and you can quickly reiterate. But when you are spread over 7 geographies, and then you are growing, right, if you allow each one to make their own decision, right, then it becomes very, very difficult to get a standardized output. So that is one problem we face. Then we had a larger cultural question of, are we curbing the innovation at the grassroots level and telling people that you cannot innovate on top of it, right? Or are you going to put a structure to the innovation? So these are some of the things that we had to answer and solve to get the unit economics right. I fundamentally believe that agribusiness is not a business that doesn't exist. It exists currently also, right? And whether all the people in this supply chain is profitable, yes, they are definitely profitable. That's why they are operating, right? But then why we are not making money is a question which you consistently keep asking, right? Why? Like, everyone makes money, but why we are not able to make money? So with that angle, we pursued the problem, and we are trying to figure out solution one after the other. So I largely believe that if someone asks me, like, hey, Ninja Kart is a revolutionary alternative to farmer, I say, no, it is not. Actually, we are building an alternate distribution channel and trying to be better efficient than the market. And we believe still we are
One
not.
qu- yeah. So Thiru, just on that point,
I remember when we last chatted, I think you had made a really interesting point where you had said 100% of your energies are spent on solving for integrity, right? And that is the number one problem to be solved sort of in the whole agri supply chain. Would love for you to maybe just double click on that a little bit and share some of your thoughts, because I had found that a very sort of interesting insight.
Sure. So I'll throw some light into what we're doing, right? We're dealing with commodities, and which has a very great market access, and things can be taken out of your supply chain and sold very easily. Let's say, for example, you steal 100 mobile phones, maybe you'll find it difficult to steal, but you steal 100 kilos of tomato, you can sell it in no time, right? Because all you have to do is offer it at a 10% discount and people will go and buy it, right? So the biggest problem we faced in our supply chain is actually the pilferage problem, right? Let's say at every leg, people are stealing something, right? That's what I said, when we are small, when everyone we know, they acted very responsibly, and we never had pilferage as a problem. But when you expanded into geographies where there are multiple teams involved, where we couldn't bring in a sense of ownership at a cultural level, we saw that most of the people who had to care really didn't care, because of that people who are integrity issues went ahead and created a lot of filterage for us. So, to give a small example, right, the farmer brings an item to your collection center, and we had to sample grade the item and pick it, and we have a labor there who and a person there who's grading. The farmer tips the guy like, hey, 100 rupees, take everything inside. And then you are mixing this in a whole lot of, it's a whole ocean of item. You cannot track this, which farmer gave the bad item. And day in and day out, let's say 5 to 6% or 5 to 10% of my customers return think this item is bad. And that's a major problem we face, right? Then maybe to solve that, we went and implemented complete traceability. And then if the customer returns, we are able to track back to the farmer who does it. And now we are able to tell the farmer that, hey, this is not acceptable. It's a farmer problem or a labor problem or a collection center problem, right? That's one key thing. The second, so like this, everywhere people cheated on quality. Let's say, for example, I go and deliver an item to a customer. The customer takes a good item, puts all the bad item inside and says, oh, this quality is bad, take it. Now the problem is, it's with the farmer or a customer, right? So then we started leveraging products as well as data to figure out where the real problem is, who's cheating, right? So it's not the integrity level of the employees I'm talking about, it's the integrity level of all the stakeholders is a problem, right? Because traditionally we are in a country where if people don't watch, they're okay to make a mistake, right? So that is something we fought, and that is something we cannot change, but we have to put a process and a product solution for that. Similarly, right, in every crate of tomatoes, we have open crate, we don't pack it. When I say open crate, it's like a plastic bin where you put a vegetable and you don't put it, close it or seal it, right? Now what happens is, weighing is a costly affair in our supply chain. Let's say you are moving like 1,000 tons, right? And every supply chain point, if you start weighing it, it's a Herculean effort to do that. For example, we weigh it, and when you get it from the farmer, until it goes to the customer, we don't weigh it, okay? Because it's every weighing costs me a bomb, right? In markets, like till the item arrives in the market and sold, it is not weighed. At the point of selling, it gets weighed, and from there on, the risk is transferred, right? What we weigh it at the farm gate and pay a price and we carry it. So we have to be very mindful of our inventory, right? So what happened is, let's say, so we don't weigh it at any point. But then, let's say, driver starts stealing one tomatoes from every crate and makes a new crate. Then he can sell it easily. And then it goes to the customer says, hey, this is not a 20 kilo crate, this is like a 19 kilo crate. So then we don't know who took this 1 kilo, right? So everywhere one person is stealing one tomato. That's like a very hard problem to solve. So there, how do we end up with solving it? So like that, right? Quality, weight, in terms of vegetable shrinks. So whatever I keep in my warehouse, tomorrow I go and measure, it'll be like maybe 10% less. So how do we latch on to our inventory and make sure that the inventory filterage, I still remember, like, one guy kept on putting, like, say, 100 kilo shortage in the FC. At one point, he accumulated some 10 tons of onion. He got a truck and took it and went. And the big FC people are able to do that. Then we went on to figure out, like, which is this truck parked, and somehow through our CCTV cameras, we figured out this, right? So it's a complex problem when it comes to filterage. And that's why this sector is largely unorganized for a long time because it needed entrepreneurs to behave with a lot of integrity because it's your own produce to transfer. So disrupting an entrepreneur-driven supply chain or an entrepreneur-driven ecosystem with an organized ecosystem where ownership levels of people are questionable and ownership level of a customer is customer or different stakeholders is questionable is a relatively much harder problem to solve is what we largely believe.